Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. Later in the program, we'll discuss the increasing demand for athletic programs to stop using representations of American Indians for team names and mascots. But first this afternoon, we're taking a look at the OutReels Film Festival. It takes place this weekend, presented by the Cincinnati Film Society. OutReels provides an artistic forum to explore and examine issues important to the LGBT community. Joining me to discuss the film festival are OutReels founder and festival director Chuck Beatty, Cincinnati Film Society president and director Latria Roberts, and filmmaker and director Robert Camina. He's joining us by phone. Robert Camina's film, Upstairs Inferno, which profiles the largest gay mass murder in U.S. history, will be featured at the festival. We'd like you to join the conversation, too. You can do that by calling 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
Certainly glad to have everybody here. And Chuck, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
And tell us, how long has the festival been going on, and where did the idea for it come from?
Okay. I actually produced a film in 2011 that sent me to the Louisville LGBT Film Festival, and I traveled to other film festivals after that. And I was always wondering, being a Cincinnati native, why didn't we have a film festival here? So when I got back from those film festivals, after talking to some filmmakers, I made a few phone calls. I'm like, this is what I want to do. So I found a space. That's what got the ball rolling. And 2012 was our first year that we had the film festival.
Latria?
I remember that year. I came out, and it was really exciting. And I thrilled to have Chuck on board with the Film Society. I've been wanting this merger to happen for some time, and so I'm very thrilled.
What happens, you know, you have a group of people that want to create a film festival, but we don't have the structure behind it to make it a nonprofit or to go further or go bigger. So when talking with Latria over the years, and especially this year, we're like, we want something that will last. I don't want this festival to go away. If there's ever a time that I decide that I want to step away, I want to make sure it keeps going. In order for that to happen, you have to form a coalition with someone like Latria and the Cincinnati Film Society to make sure that happens.
And Robert, you've been here in town for the film festival in the past. Is that correct?
That is correct. I came for the opening year. My documentary Radio the Rainbow Lounge screened as part of the opening year festival.
Tell us what that was about.
Sure. Raid of the Rainbow Lounge is a documentary about a controversial 2009 gay bar raid in Fort Worth, Texas. Multiple people were seriously injured and arrested, and it happened on the 40th anniversary of the Stonewall Inn raid, and the parallels were incredibly haunting. After sordid allegations and a lot of unrest, Fort Worth eventually became a leader in LGBT equality, and Cincinnati was one of the first films to invite the film to the festival. I was very happy that Councilman Chris Seelbach came, as well as a representative from the Cincinnati Police Department, to help in the Q&A, to help facilitate a dialogue between the LGBT community and city leaders and law enforcement officials. And we're also very pleased to have our film's narrator, Meredith Baxter, who you might remember from Family Ties, and she's been on Glee recently, and she was able to join us. I think this was the, other than the Fort Worth screening, Cincinnati was the only other screening she participated in the Q&A.
And one of the things that we wanted to mention, and we'll talk about in just a bit, is that your film Upstairs Inferno will be featured this year, and we will get to that in a moment. But I'm going to ask you, Chuck, if you can tell us where you get the films. How do you choose which films are featured at the festival?
What we do is we use a website called filmfreeway.com, and that basically is anywhere for filmmakers to submit films to a number of festivals. So that's one of the ways we received over 519 entries. We allowed students to submit for free this year. So some of those films were LGBT related, some of them were not. So that's kind of how we went through it. We narrow it down to 23 films total for the weekend. Some of those films are invited films, like Robert's film, and some other films that we've gotten other contact with other festivals about that need to be screened. So there's a lot that goes into bringing what films that we think are going to bring in the audience and what films that are pertinent to the what's going on in the community at the time.
Do you find that when people come to the festival in Latrine, maybe you even can talk about this, that folks want to see one film or they want to see a whole bunch of films with that many films out there for the weekend?
There are a lot of people who are interested in festivals, and they do tend to travel out of the city. So I think it's a combination of both. People focusing on particular ones that really pique their interest, and others that are just there to experience different films and not be so focused on which ones, but just enjoying the allotment of what we have to offer.
And what I think is unique about our festival is you have a chance to see all 23 films. There's no overlap. We show it in one theater. You have the whole entire weekend, and it's a pretty low cost if you choose to see all the films. Mm-hmm. So you have the option, and I think that's very important. When I started it, I wanted people to be able to watch as many or not have to schedule it out. So,
well, you talk about how you can see all 23 films in a weekend because it's all in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing that, then these films are of what length? I mean, are they of varying lengths?
They're varying lengths. Like, for instance, we look at the first night. We have a short that will appear before Robert's. So we have normally a short film, and then we have a feature film right after that. The first block on Saturday is all short films. So that's under, like, 20 minutes each. So it's about five films that are under 20 minutes each. So it varies. We have a lot of features and we have a lot of shorts, but there's stuff fit in there. So it's...
When you're choosing the films, you say you have people submit and you're choosing which ones are going to be presented.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for?
What I'm looking for is a specific story. And I think that's the point of, you know, why we do the festival, is to get the message out there. We look for things that... folks find familiar in their lives that are within the community. We look for quality of the film. We look for what kind of message is it trying to give. There's a lot of factors. David and I sit and watch every single one of them to make sure that, you know, it fits. And there's an overall theme of the festival to make sure it's diverse. I think we're looking for a lot of diversity too when we go to look at the films.
What do you find that people, and Robert, maybe you can even talk about this from the first year you were here, what kind of reaction do you think people have to the work that's out there?
I think people are very receptive to it. I think, going back to your comment about film festivals, is even though the internet has provided an avenue to view a lot more content than ever before in different VOD channels, film festivals still provide you the first look to see excellent content that you've never been able to see before or may not have an opportunity to see again. So that's why film festivals like this one play such a crucial role in the community. And especially for smaller cities. Not to say Cincinnati's small, but it's not, you know, Los Angeles or New York, where there hasn't necessarily been a presence for LGBT cinema or relatability. So I think people come out to see stories that they can relate to, and I think that's why it plays an important role in the community.
And I think, you know, Robert also mentioned before, the first year we were able to have this dialogue that would not happen without, you know, that film coming to our city, and without Meredith and Robert both coming in and Chris Seelbach taking interest in it, and, you know, Scott Knox, who was a lawyer, he was also there. So the police were able to say to the LGBT community, because of this film, this is where we're behind you. We're supportive of you in the city. So the dialogue is so important when we're doing events like this.
Well, talk a little bit about that this time. What kinds of discussions? Is there a discussion after every film?
When we have directors or filmmakers coming in, we definitely do a Q&A afterwards. We have several. Robert, of course, is coming in. We have a couple other filmmakers that are coming in. We have a film that was made in Akron, Ohio, and those filmmakers are coming down. So when we receive information that the filmmakers are coming in, we will make time to make sure there's dialogue after those films.
We're going to talk specifically about Robert's film after our break. But before we get to that,
mm-hmm.
let's talk a little bit about the type of films in terms of, you know, a lot of these we hear, certainly his film was a tragedy. Are they all really intense and serious, or do you have any humor involved, or what's the spectrum?
It kind of, the spectrum is varied. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, storytelling that's, you know, strong, and there's a lot of comedy. There's a lot of feel-good stories coming out of some of the stuff. There's a lot of We're lucky enough to have some transgender films that relate strongly to the community, that are both strong and hard-hitting, and some that are like lighthearted. So we have a great mixture of films throughout the weekend that kind of reflect on that. So not as all that heavy, but these are messages that need to be out there mixed in with some comedy and some relief.
Latria, have you found this to grow over the years? How does the Film Society feel about having partnered with this?
Well, the Cincinnati Film Society has been a part of our mission is to have diversity, and in growing that diversity and creating conversation about social justice issues, we found that it was really important to partner with Chuck. And as far as how the festival has grown, it has had a strong heartbeat. It has done very well over the 3 years, and it's exciting that we're going into the fourth year for the festival.
Well, I think, you know, it's an overall mission of letting those who might not be able to have that voice, giving them a voice, either through the festival that we have or throughout the whole year. Like, we're looking to schedule stuff all next year with the Film Society that allows filmmakers some access to some studio time, or allows them access to different things to make sure that their film is made and the story that they want to make is possible.
Who comes to the films? Who comes to see them?
Oh, it's I find it's generally those, like, you know, 30s to 50s range. We get some younger ones because we go to look for films that will kind of bring in a younger audience. But we have the diehards that have been coming since the first year, like 12 strong people that have come, and they will sit there and watch every single film all the way through the weekend.
And you also participate with the Youth Summit every
Yeah, Glisten's Youth Summit. We're able to do a screening at the Youth Summit every year.
Now, clearly you're going to get people that have interest in LGBT issues. Mm-hmm. Do you ever find it sort of a preaching to the choir sort of situation, or do you get people that really do want to be engaged and maybe don't have a lot of knowledge about these issues?
I think it depends. I mean, we're talking about Robert's film in general. We have we try to reach out to the younger community to realize this is what happened before. This is our history. This is what we have to know. You know, here we are today. We have marriage equality. We have some other things that we have to work through. But we're a lot better off than people were in 1973. And these kind of things that are happening, the audience needs to know about. And even you have people that are older might not even realize the seriousness of what happened in his film. So I think we do reach out because you have people coming up like, you know what? I never knew about that.
In just a moment, we're going to talk with Robert about his film Upstairs Inferno as we continue our look at the upcoming OutReels Film Festival. You can join our conversation by calling 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're discussing OutReels Film Festival, which takes place this weekend. Joining us, OutReels founder and festival director Chuck Beatty, Cincinnati Film Society president and director Latria Roberts, and joining us by phone, filmmaker and director Robert Camina, whose film Upstairs Inferno will be featured at the festival. You can call 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Robert, I'd like to talk about your film now, Upstairs Inferno. Tell us what it's about.
Sure. Well, on June 24th, 1973, someone deliberately set fire to a gay bar in New Orleans, ultimately killing 32 people. And it's considered the largest U.S. largest mass murder in U.S. history. And it is a very little known story. And for over 40 years, people did not know about this fire, still the largest fire and deadliest fire in New Orleans history. And it was my purpose or my desire to bring the story out of the shadows and bring honor and dignity to those who died in the fire and whose story has been ignored for so long.
How difficult was it to, you know, this is what, 33 years later, am I doing the math right? 42 years later. See, I was never good at math. 42 years later. Was it difficult to find people that you could talk to that knew details of the story?
It was definitely a challenge to find people because it has been over 40 years since the fire, and since then we've had to endure the AIDS crisis and Hurricane Katrina, and simply the fact that people have died from natural causes because it's been 40 plus years. So it definitely was a challenge to find people, but once I did, once I found survivors or family members of people who lost loved ones in the fire, or witnesses, first responders even, it was about building relationships with them, because I wanted our conversation to be just that during the interviews. I wanted it to be a conversation and not an interrogation, and I didn't want people to think I was looking to exploit their story. So, you know, as I found them, whether it's through the internet or basically word of mouth, making friends with one person who knows one person who knows one person, you know, it's just for them to get to know me. And so once we sat down, we had a trust established.
Talk a little bit about what the movie presents, how you present all of this information. Is it strictly interviews? Do you try to recreate any of it?
Yeah, I didn't want to create a documentary that was just a stagnant exposition of facts. You can read that in the newspaper. You can read that in a book. I wanted to bring humanity into the headlines. And so it's one thing to read about the swirling flames or the pain that one goes through. But when you are sitting in the theater and you're seeing archival footage of the fire, you're taken exactly to that moment, and you're able to get a perspective of what that moment was like. And when you're able to hear from the people whose lives they touched, it really brings it home that these were real people. This is not just, you know, statistics. These are real people whose lives were cut short. So I wanted a mixture of telling the story, the facts surrounding the fire, the facts surrounding the investigation, but also just give life to the people whose lives were cut short.
Chuck, why did you pick this film as the feature film for the festival?
I think it's important with the dialogue and everything that we have going on that people know I want to always go back to the past and really make sure that the younger generation knows what happened in the past. And this is such a powerful story. And, you know, I've known Robert for a long time, and I followed the process of this, the making of this film. And I thought it was so important to make sure that we had this here in Cincinnati.
And to piggyback that, people, the story of the fire is not part of our common LGBT dialogue, even though it's the severity of the fire and the magnitude and the importance of it is still not part of our gay history books. We know about Stonewall, we know about Harvey Milk, we know about the AIDS crisis, but this is a monumental moment in our LGBT timeline, yet few people know about it.
And why do you think that is?
I asked the same question to people when I interviewed them, and there's a variety of answers, and so I think it's a mixture. The New Orleans community is very insular, very protective, and so they are very protective of their history, and this is a very sensitive subject, so they didn't really want to talk about it. And the other side of it is that it was such a painful time for people, and that there was no silver lining that came out of this fire. It's not like Stonewall, where it was the launch of the modern gay rights movement. You know, there was no real positive result of this. And so there was a lot of pain and bottled up pain, and people just didn't want to talk about it. But with the 40th anniversary of the fire in 2013, Time Magazine wrote an article, and we were already in production of our film, and it really helped raise the awareness, and people started talking. And survivors who hadn't talked before, they opened up to me and decided to talk on camera because they realize that this story hasn't been told for whatever reason, and that they don't know how long they're going to be here. And if they die or when they die, the stories of this fire and the memories of those who they loved will die with them. And they did not want that to happen. So I wanted to capture that and bring that into the film.
Do you think attitudes have changed in New Orleans in that 40 years? Is it a different place now? Could that kind of a fire happen there today?
I think the fire could happen anywhere. I mean, in 2013, someone deliberately set fire to stairs in a gay bar in Seattle, and it was very similar. A bartender led people out, and the sprinkler system fortunately doused the flames before anybody got hurt. But that could happen anywhere. But as far as New Orleans is concerned, you know, the attitudes have changed a bit. I mean, you just have to look at Southern decadence and see how welcoming the city is to the gay dollar on that weekend. But the mayor of New Orleans now, Mitch Landrieu, is the son of Mayor Moon Landrieu, who was the mayor back in 1973. And in 2013, Mitch Landrieu issued a day of remembrance, official day of remembrance for the Upstairs Lounge fire. So there's some interesting symmetry there, and it can show the evolution on acceptance and thinking. But a crime like this could happen still anywhere.
If folks want to see all these movies, tell us the theater where they will be.
It's going to be at the Aronoff Center for the Arts. It's going to be on the Main Street side. You enter the Fifth Third Theater, and it's the rehearsal hall downstairs.
Great. And that starts on Friday night?
Friday night, 8 o'clock.
And we have a lot of information on our website, wvxu.org, if you'd like information there. And Robert, anything else you'd like to add as a person who's been here for the festival in the past?
Yes, I'm really looking forward to being there. The Cincinnati audiences were just so incredibly hospitable. I'm looking to come back. And I welcome everybody that's listening to join our Facebook page, Upstairs Inferno, the documentary. And sign up for our newsletter at upstairsinferno.com. You can learn a lot more about the film and see the trailers and the history of it on both those sites.
All right. And thank you all for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
My guests today have been OutReel's founder and festival director Chuck Beatty, Cincinnati Film Society president and director Latria Roberts, and filmmaker and director Robert Kamina. The OutReels Film Festival takes place November 13th through 15th, this Friday through Sunday, at the Aronoff Center for the Arts. Information is available on our website, wvxu.org. In just a moment, we'll discuss the controversy over athletic programs using representations of American Indians for team names and mascots. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.